Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, if you're just joining us, it is Lottie Ryan with you until midday. It is 20 minutes past 11 right now, and I am about to have a chat with Fiona Scarlett. And inspiration, I suppose, can come from the strangest of places, and she is a woman who is absolute proof of that. Fiona, how are you this morning?
Hi Lottie, how are you? Doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh no, thank you for coming on to talk to us. I was just mentioning there how inspiration can come from the strangest of places. Talk to us about the tweet that got you thinking about the story. Explain to people.
Yeah, so it's probably about 3 years ago now, just over 3 years ago. I was scrolling away on Twitter, as you do, procrastinating away, and came across a tweet by a paediatric palliative care doctor. And in it, he had asked the patients in his care what they would miss the most when they died. So, of course, it was an incredibly moving and powerful tweet. But the first thing I did after reading it was I took out a Word document and wrote the first chapter of Boys Don't Cry. And it's probably identical to the way it is in print now at the moment. It's virtually unchanged. Probably one of the only bits in the book that hasn't really changed that much.
Well, but did it just come spilling out of you?
Yeah, literally just I read it and opened and it just was there, you know, and even the story in general, it just sort of came as a fully formed story. I'd say it was working away in the subconscious for a long time, but that was the spark that got me writing this book.
God, it really is incredible. And I think in terms of where inspiration can come from. So for people who are out there, maybe, you know, thinking about giving writing a go and wondering where they can get inspired from, you literally don't know when that spark is going to hit. So whether it's a laptop or a pad and a pen, I think people should just always have something with them so as they can get those ideas down.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the biggest piece of writing advice I give to anybody who's thinking about it is just start. You know, you do not need permission to write. There's a lot of other factors might come in the way and you think, oh, I'm not able to do it, I wasn't good at English, or I wasn't this, that and the other. Just start, have your little notebook, write your little bits down, carve a little space here and there, and one word after another, you know, that's it.
And Fiona, I don't want to give away too much about the storyline of the book, but what themes did you feel that you really wanted to cover in the book? Like, what was important to you to talk about?
Yeah, I think when I wrote the book, I didn't really have any themes in mind, but sort of reflect on it. I just wanted to show a snapshot of a family dealing with a particular trauma. But at the heart of the book really is love, I suppose. Like, it is an exploration of grief, really. And I suppose that's grief is love in its rawest form. So I think ultimately love and family love in particular, even complicated family love would be the main one.
And is it a book you'd recommend for somebody who's experiencing grief at the moment?
I don't know. That's a hard one to answer. Like, I know myself, my dad died nearly a year ago now, and I actually like reading about death and grief and loss. I always have anyway, strangely enough, but even more so since he died, I find comfort in it. But I do know people who have experienced loss recently, particularly loss of a child, might find it very difficult to read. So I'd leave it up to them to decide.
Up to the individual, yeah, because it is such a personal journey for people to go through. And, you know, different types of grief might require different types of therapy. And I'd be with you. When I experienced grief, I read, what did I read at the time? I think I read Chicken Soup for the Grieving Soul, like something very basic, and I found it very comforting. But I agree with you that maybe it's not for everybody. This is your first book. What made you want to become a writer, Fiona? Or was it just that tweet that kind of made it a byproduct? Or was it something you'd kind of had in the back of your mind as something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, it's funny. So like, I'm not somebody who always wanted to write. You know, people say they were a born writer and it's something that they always wanted to do. That wasn't the case for me. I was always a huge reader, like always a massive reader. And I love story. So I know writers say as well that they write because they can't not write. For me, I think it's because I'm just in love with story. Like, I love TV programs, I love film, I love books. and I love people and characters and finding out what makes them human. So I think that's why I write. And I came to writing probably about maybe 5 years ago. So I was writing like funny little children's stories and stuff like that, because I'm a primary school teacher. I was working with young children. I had children of my own. So that's where I started. But I don't actually remember when I decided, oh yeah, I want to be a writer. I just remember starting and saying it to my husband, oh, I think I want to be a writer. But I don't know where that spark came from. I think just that love of story in itself was something that I always had, and it came out then.
Do you think working with kids helped?
It probably did. Like the type of stories, I love reading stories to kids. Like my biggest background is with junior infants. So it's all picture books and making it funny and putting on the voices and the characters and engaging it. And I love the response of them listening to a story. So that's sort of oral storytelling, I think I was really heavily drawn to. So definitely I'd say the reaction that you get from children, because it's instant if you're reading a story to them, it's that probably definitely fed into me wanting to write and get that reaction, I suppose.
I think also what I find striking about your journey is that you mentioned there that you've experienced grief very recently. It was only a year ago, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes. So very recent. And obviously it's a book about grief. I can't imagine doing the research for this would have been terribly easy. Or did you find it a little bit therapeutic maybe?
Yeah. So it's funny enough, this was actually written before I'd experienced.
Oh, wow.
Huge grief like that. So before that, it was my grandparents and my father's parents in particular, we were very close to, but it's a completely different grief when it's a parent. And I like, of course, it would naturally be an other level of grief altogether when it's a child. So what I did, though, I wanted to get that real authenticity of the sort of roller coaster of grief, and that it's not linear and that different things can trigger at different times. I read a lot of blogs from parents and siblings who had lost.
That must have been very difficult.
Really, really difficult. And trying to make it just as authentic as I possibly could, without trying to condescend or patronize or any of those type of things either, you know.
It's very, very difficult, but I think getting those you know, the voices of the people who have actually been through it was probably the best way that you could get as close to it as possible.
Yeah, and a bit of a safety blanket there as well, because I didn't want to intrude with, for example, interviewing people who had lost a child. I thought it'd be very intrusive. So it sort of gave that bit of a buffer as well, I suppose, too, you know.
And then it's not only is it your first book, but you're nominated for an award. I mean, it kind of all is happening a first go for you.
Yeah, like absolutely, like beyond delighted and humbled to have been nominated in the first place, because the extraordinary talent coming out of Ireland at the moment is just absolutely mind blowing. And to be recognised as well, I think, as a newcomer, because I'm in my 40s. So there's a lot of prizes out there or initiatives for new or emerging writers, but they're capped at 25 or they're capped at 30. So just to have that support and recognition that a new writer, an emerging writer can be any age, and that you still need those supports and initiatives. So that's one thing I think we're very lucky here in Ireland, that it doesn't seem to be that barrier to age that there can't be.
I think that's actually such an important point to make, because we were only speaking about this earlier on in the show about employees who, you know, because of the current global pandemic, might find themselves wanting to upskill or go back into education or change jobs and try something different. And it is just like so, so important, I think, that people know that it really doesn't matter what age you are. You can really give something a go at any time in your life. And you don't know when you might find that one thing that turns out to be the big thing for you. Like you're saying, you now winning this award, first time at this, and you're 40. It just doesn't matter what age you are.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no time stamp on it. And I think given that space to provide more initiatives like that for whatever walk of life you're going into. Like, it's similar. I saw recently an article about PhD research funding. And again, it was for new PhD students. And there, again, there was an age cap on it of 30 or 35. And, you know, just to have those initiatives there for any age, as you said, you don't know life circumstances or anything that comes in the way of you pursuing something too. And you're bringing all that life experience to it as well, which can only be a positive thing.
Fiona, the texts are flying in for you. Do you mind if I read you one or two?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So one says, I read Boys Don't Cry in a Day. It is the most incredible book and everyone should read it. I cried so much when it closed for the last time. That came in from Miriam. Trish also texted in. She said, I read Boys Don't Cry on a train from London to Liverpool. I absolutely loved it, and a very kind lady gave me a tissue when she saw me sobbing.
Oh,
I mean, not Trish, not that I would wish sobbing on anyone, but isn't it great when you see somebody having such a reaction when they're reading a book? They've gotten so lost in the story that they have that kind of a reaction. I just think it's such a rare thing to see in comparison to people watching movies. I think it's amazing.
Oh, that's been the most eye-opening thing for me, like, and incredibly touching, is messages that I've got from readers. One reader told me she had to pull over on the motorway because she got a flashback of part of the book and was crying so much she had to pull over. And another man, actually, who was in his 60s, and said it was the first book that he actually read since primary school that he chose to read. So things like that are incredibly humbling. So it's which I didn't expect at all. You're writing away in your own little bubble. I didn't expect this reaction. So it's those responses have been very touching, and I appreciate so much.
Well, Fiona, massive congratulations on being nominated as Best Newcomer in the On Post Irish Book Awards. And to tie in with the announcement of the On Post Irish Book Awards shortlist, the public are now being asked to cast their votes online for the best books of the year on the On Post Irish Books website, which is onpostirishbookawards.ie. And all the voters will be entered into a prize draw to win one of five 100 euro National Book Tokens vouchers, and votes can be cast until 5 p.m. on the 15th of November. That's today. So get voting. Fiona, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Lottie. Delighted to be here. So thank you.